the WHW Monday. Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson.
Jim Crockett, First Arcade, 605 NWA, TV title, Cajun Omni, the Bunkhouse Stampede, Flair and Horseman, Garvin, Boogie, Magnum, Dusty, Express Tag Team, Turner, Bonin, Mid-South, Joint World Championship Wrestling.
Talking about the great years of World Championship Wrestling, the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotion.
Tony and First North, they win. Look, Schiavone's back again. World title split off center stage, Bischoff, Disney, Hogan, and Nitro, New World Order, the Crow, Thunder Russo, Arquette Champ, Vinnie Mac, simulcast. Tony's back with Conrad, not your classy podcast. Watch a long time, not too left. Lois rules, cat bat. This wasn't the initial plan. Tom's a good looking man. Klondike Bill, make a tip. Tommy, you come over here.
What happened, Gwen?
WHW Monday. And now, let's go to the ring. And here's your co-host. Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson.
Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to What Happened When? With the voice of your childhood, Tony Schiavone. Tony, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Conrad, how are you?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. I was looking, just watching and enjoying that open, that video open that was put together, and I guess Dave Silva did that. Thank you, Dave. We're doing that. I noticed the very last shot is me as the Phantom of the Opera.
Mm.
Wasn't the Phantom of the Opera a great, great Broadway show?
I actually saw that only one time, and I saw it in Las Vegas. Have you seen the Las Vegas production of that, or did you see it? I don't even know if it's still running.
No, I saw it in New York, and then I saw it twice in New York, and I saw it once here in Atlanta, but I didn't see the Vegas.
Well, the Vegas version was great. I really dug it and thought it was cool. And I think that's probably Matt Coon's greatest contribution to the professional wrestling space. Damn sure ain't his Twitter. But that little song he put together for us, man, that was pretty fun. And still fun all these years later, you know?
All these years later, it is still fun. It's about time to change it so we can get Matt
Coon out. Oh, listen to that.
So we can get Matt Coon out of our lives.
Well, everybody wants a little less Matt Coon in their
sure
life.
Sure do, yeah.
We're excited that you're allowing us to come into your life today. We're going to be watching some old school wrestling. And today we're going to be watching a little more Memphis wrestling from 1984. We've got some really fun stuff planned through the end of the year, including a fun Superstars on Deck and lots of other stuff. But speaking of superstars,
yeah,
there's a new R-rated superstar running around AEW. Congratulations to Mr. Adam Copeland and Tony Khan and the whole AEW family. Man, this is pretty exciting, and as I understand it, he's going to make his first Dynamite appearance, as folks are listening to this, tonight on the four-year anniversary of Dynamite. There's so much to talk about there. Let's start first with Adam Copeland. Is this your first time meeting Adam this past weekend?
I did one of their podcasts. I did it when Edge and Christian had a podcast.
Yes.
I was a guest of their podcast. And so we had talked before, and actually we had texted back and forth. It was a stupid story. It had nothing to do with wrestling, but he and I had texted back and forth. But it was first time meeting him face-to-face, and the odd thing about it was I had no idea he was there.
Oh, really?
None until someone smarted me up about an hour before the show.
Now, Tony, last I heard, you were involved in talent relations. Are you Schiavone-ing your talent relations job, or how does that happen?
Apparently, the talent relations job is Schiavone and me.
What's funny is you and I recorded not one, but two pieces of bonus content over the weekend that are available now at patreon.com/WHW Monday. Some really fun stuff, some old ECW and some old WWF, really fun stuff, but I asked you off air. I said, so, hey man, this big announcement, this new era, I assume it's this. And you said, yeah, I think so. That sounds right. And neither one of us were like, oh yeah, it's this thing. And not for public consumption, just in our private conversation. I'm thinking, hey, hypothetically, but I will say that it did feel like it was maybe one of the worst kept secrets in wrestling as we got closer, because my phone blew up that day. Like, hey, watch the last segment. And, you know, you can put two and two together, but nonetheless, I was talking to Jeff Jarrett, and his son Cody lost his mind, as well as several of my more casual wrestling fan friends who would say, "Oh, I don't watch every week." It blew up on both Sunday night and Monday morning. Is Edge really in AEW? It is a big get for Tony Khan and AEW, and really, really exciting as a longtime fan, because I know he wrestled before he was in WWE as Sexton Hardcastle, and he was even an enhancement talent on some WCW shows and certainly a lot of indies, but I didn't see any of that. So it'll be really fun to see him sort of outside of the box, coloring outside the lines with a whole new set of opponents, a whole new system. I'm excited to see what happens tonight. And as I understand it, Dynamite next week is on Tuesday.
Yep.
It'll be Tony Khan's birthday, and they're calling it Title Tuesday, and he'll make his in-ring debut against Luchasaurus. I'm excited to see what Adam Copeland does in AEW, and I guess almost by accident, because of, you know, the different sports scheduling, we're going to have like another old school head-to-head with NXT and AEW next week. And what a way to debut Adam Copeland. That's pretty fun, man.
That's pretty cool. I had no idea he was there. But I thought it was a great, I thought it was pretty cool when he slides in the ring and he and Christian go face to face, because I'm looking at him there thinking, man, there's a legendary tag team.
No doubt.
Just staring at each other. It was a very, very good moment. And the fans there lost their mind as well. So with all that, I thought it was a very good move, but no, I didn't know. And that's, you know what? That's cool.
You probably didn't know that. Be really surprised. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then when I found out he was there, I went running the back and talked to him, and it was good to talk to him. And he was, if you watched, the control center that dropped earlier today, we did a very exclusive backstage interview with him afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And you could tell, his excitement for being here in AEW. So, good job. I'm sure as time goes on, it won't be the last surprise that we have. I'm not giving a spoiler because, again, I don't know. But as we go on and the years go on, you just never know, right? I mean, think about Adam Cole, Bryan Danielson, John Moxley on the very first Double or Nothing that Brody, I was at ringside Hardy, for.
Miro. I mean, there's been so many fun.
Right.
It's a fun time to be a wrestling fan, and I know some people are critical of me when I say that, but I just, you know, I can't help but live a little vicariously through my younger wrestling fan friends like Cody. And man, he just lost his mind. I mean, he was so excited to see one of his favorites now on this program. And I can't help but think about how you're one of my favorites on that program. And tonight, as folks are listening to this, is the 4-year anniversary of the first AEW TV show. And I remember being in Washington, D.C. and seeing you come out the tunnel before they went live and just thinking, I can't believe this is happening. Like when you and I first sat down to start recording this podcast, we were just talking about old slapdick wrestling. And now you find yourself walking out of the tunnel for a new challenger brand to the WWE on a Turner station back in the wrestling business. It was like, this is crazy. And it's hard to believe that was 4 years ago. Cause on the one hand, it feels like it was last year. And on the other hand, it feels like it was about 10 years ago, Tony.
Well, if you think about how long we've been doing this podcast, it'll be 7 years in June, January, time does go by quickly.
Yeah, it does. Mm.
It goes. And the older you get, the quicker it goes. So, yeah. So, time does fly by. And I got to thinking the other day that when the summer of 2024 rolls around, it'll be 15 years ago that I first started doing Gwinnett Stripers baseball, Gwinnett Braves baseball. And that's 15 years. 15 fucking years. It's like, God bless America. I started. But that's the way it is. But the journey's been really good. It's been a lot of fun. It really has.
We're having a lot of fun with you guys. Hope you're having fun with us. And I want to mention we're going to start branching out and having a little more fun over at adfreeshows.com. I can't believe this is real, but we're debuting a new series. And Tony, I don't know that you've had a chance to see this. So I think our crack producer here, Dave Silva, he's got a little video he's going to play for us. And I want to share that with everybody and then get your reaction.
Roll it, crackhead.
Oh, wow.
I mean, crack producer.
Ad-Free Shows is home to a Hall of Fame lineup of legends and icons, and we continue to add to that legacy with a three-time world heavyweight champion who stunned the wrestling world on the debut episode of Monday Nitro, firing the first shot in the Monday Night War.
What in the hell's he doing here?
From the football field to the wrestling ring, a physical specimen. He's run with the Horsemen and the Wolf Pack. A narcissist, an American hero, the master of the torture rack. He's the total package, Lex Luger. It's Lex Expressed, arriving in October, exclusively on adfreeshows.com. Lex will be joined by Conrad Thompson every month, looking back at some of his most memorable moments and matches. And in this special interactive format, Lex will also be answering questions from the live studio audience, which is you, available at the $29 level and up. And Top Guy members can join Lex live. It's Lex Expressed, coming soon to adfreeshows.com.
So there it is, Tony. Catch Lex Express starting this October, plus thousands of other bonus series like Tuesday with the Taskmaster, the Hacksaw Hour with Jim Duggan, the Book with David Crockett, and more, all available exclusively at adfreeshows.com. And Tony, what we're doing today, man, is a little old school pro wrestling, and we're going to be watching some of that great Memphis stuff that we've grown to love this year. And this time it's from 1984. Tony, how old were you in 1984?
Let's see, 20 to 30. Yeah, I don't know. 24, maybe? No, I was 24 when Matt was born. So it'll be 26. I was 26.
So Matt was born in 82?
82, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Well, it's going to be a show. You and I love watching the old school stuff. And 1984, man, that's right in our wheelhouse. And Tony, in honor of us celebrating 4 years of Dynamite today, I figured let's have a little fun. Mm-hmm. Let's play a little grab ass.
Yeah.
Let's watch a little Memphis wrestling from 1984. Mm-hmm. Want to thank everybody for showing up and hanging out with us. They're all a part of our live studio audience. You can be as well if you go to patreon.com/WHW Monday or adfreeshows.com. I want to give a shout out to George and Josh and Coach Rosie and Lucas and Jim. And man, we got a lot of people hanging out. Bobby's over there. Thanks for everybody showing up so early this morning. And man, I'm excited to get going on this program today, Tony. Do we have a special countdown today?
No.
Okay. we'll do whatever countdown you want to do, Tony.
Okay. Okay. we're all watching along in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. Wrestling. Damn right it's wrestling. Nothing fancy, just wrestling.
I'm mad at him.
We love it and get excited every week, but by golly, I'll tell you one thing, this week particularly excited. Hello again, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Bryan right along ringside, and we're ready to go with a Southern Tag Team title match, David.
Oh, you're right. We're going to have Tommy Rich, a Dutch Mantel, in here going against the Nightmares. The Southern Tag Team titles are going to be on the line right here today.
Perfectly fitting that it should be because, by golly, they lost them last week right here on Championship Wrestling, so we get the return match right here.
Absolutely. In addition to that, we have some standby matches, and the Dirty White Boys are here today. Also, you have Bundy and Rude set to go in a tag team match with Jimmy Hart, of course, their manager. New Generation, Eddie Hot Stuff Gilbert, all much, much more in standby matches, but the big one, the Southern Tag Team title match.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we've got a special time limit of one fall 30 minute on the title match because of the television championship wrestling defense of it, and we've got time, so we'll be seeing some of these other bouts. Right now, we're going to speed it along by taking time out, and we'll be back with Southern Tag title match in just a moment.
So, Tony, what do you think about welcoming people to the show and getting right to the commercial break, seemingly get it out of the way? Do you like that strategy?
Yeah, back in the day when you weren't competitive, you know?
Yeah.
A new way to cut tough brush and weeds.
The brush cutter head attachment.
Brush cutter head attachment with hardened steel cutting bars. It turns a handheld grass trimmer or brush cutter into a magic brush cutter. Easy to attach to most brush cutters. No worry about strings, saw, brush blades, or parts wearing out. The magic brush cutter head will cut...
Get out there and cut that brush, some bitch!
Tough weeds, hedges, grass, cane, cattails, blackberry briars, multiflora...
I wonder how much commercials cost back.
And it cuts in both directions.
I don't know.
If it's light and easy to handle, you can use the magic brush cutter head on...
I don't know, $200?
It also mulches as it...
I don't know. This was a big show, right? This had a... This had a lot of,
yeah, a lot of people were watching.
So they probably, I would think they would up the.
I just wondered how many of these fucking magic brush cutter gimmicks you got to sell just to break even.
Don't miss the home improvement opportunity.
Oh, little home show.
Sunday at Eastland Mall. The Eastland Mall Home Show features hundreds of home improvement products both exterior and
interior. Why are they bringing two by fours inside the fucking house?
A mall full of respected tri-state merchants will be waiting to demonstrate their energy efficient money-saving products and services. Fall is the perfect time to fix up your home, and the Eastland Mall Home Show provides everything you'll need to complete your home beautification in one convenient location. Don't miss the best home show around this Thursday through Sunday at Eastland Mall. Is your old television on the fritz?
There you go.
Call Color Time, America's largest rental system.
And you don't need.
You can have the name brand TV, stereo, or appliance you want without worrying about credit repairs or long-term financial obligations. Business time?
Time to call Color Time.
In Madisonville, Vincennes, Owensboro, Henderson,
wow, and Evansville.
I am sure, Dave, that I might get an exception if I said that Dutch Mantell upset Eddie Hot Stuff Gilbert for the international title. He did do it. But at least to say, I think Eddie was more surprised than anybody. It didn't really surprise me because you and I know that the Dutchman man will get in there with anybody.
Anybody in the world, you're right.
I think we ought to share with them the highlights on championship wrestling of how the international title changed hands. Let's take a look at the Dutchman and Eddie Gilbert in action.
Fired back in the ring.
We can cut the audio here. What do you think of Dutch Mantell as an in-ring performer? You got to see him a little bit back in the day. What was your impression of him as an in-ring performer and just one of the guys backstage?
Well, one of the guys backstage, he was one of the best, one of the funniest. Really, everybody liked Dutch. But as in-ring performer, he was okay. I mean, there was nothing spectacular about Dutch, but he was a real good heel and even a good babyface. My time with Dutch mostly was when he was part of the Kansas Jayhawks with Bobby Jaggers. And Jaggers was so fucking stupid. Was he ever. And I took some... The most famous trip I took with Dutch was we were out in Los Angeles.
Right.
And it was me and Jaggers and Dutch and Tommy Young in the car together. I had a rental car. And that's back when I was doing house shows, right? So,
right.
And I probably have told this story before, but so we decided we had the whole day. We decided we were going to drive around LA and take a look at the sights, right? And just see what we could see. Tommy was in the front and Dutch was in the back along with Bobby Jaggers. And Bobby Jaggers, Bobby was known. There's a roll up here and we got a new champion. Bobby Jaggers was known to stretch the truth.
Okay.
Or as Dutch would call him, a lying motherfucker.
All right.
Okay. And we would go to a place and Bobby would say, I've been there before. This is where so-and-so happened, or this is where so-and-so happened. And Dutch would say, Tommy Bobby would come up with one of these places where you knew he was bullshitting you about it, that you'll say something like, well, I guess you're Mr. fucking Hollywood then, aren't you? Or Bobby would say, take a right here. He said, I'll never forget. And then it popped his Dutch said, well, where are we going to go now, Mr. fucking Rand McNally? I mean, he would just pop us all the time the way he would just bullshit with or hammer Bobby Jaggers.
Yeah.
And Jaggers would just take it. And Bobby smoked the whole time in the car and the windows down in the back. And it was a memorable, memorable trip. It's where I got to know Dutch. Then, of course, we moved on. And, of course, I don't know if you remember the Desperados.
No.
You don't remember the Desperados where he and Desperados was one of the best series of videos we ever shot.
Okay.
Okay. It was Dutch Mantell, Randy Colley. We called him Dead Eye Dick at that time, and Blackjack Bauer, Black Bart. And they were just three stupid cowboys who always fucked up. Oh, let's listen to Dutch talk.
Yes,
he's going to.
Yes, let's do it.
About halfway doing the program, the 30 minutes. Hey, I don't have a partner. Tommy, well, I'm asking you.
Tommy here.
No, Tommy will be here. Just move it down a little bit.
As far as I can see, this is a special one fall 30 minute time limit. Jimmy, will you just wait a minute?
All I can say, Hart, you get yours. You just hang on. You wait
for
this.
It's a one fall 30, and what we'll try to do is move it down as long as we've got 30 minutes left. Okay, let us know, Dutch, let us know when Tommy gets there.
You're not the promoter. You can't change it for 30 minutes an hour later on this match right here.
This is a television show, and as long as we've got 30 minutes left to go.
No,
where
that's
we
a forfeit. We're the winners, baby.
It is not a forfeit.
Oh, no. You can't wrench.
Hey, they haven't refused to wrestle. He will wrestle, and Tommy will be here to wrestle you all as long as we've got 30 minutes left. You go see. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as we got 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minute time limit. That's we're not asking.
Because we have a special time limit, as we always do for the championship in there. And Hart is moaning and groaning in there. The placement of the match in there is an arbitrary thing. Just
all
as
right,
long
so
as we have the
saying
time for the match.
About the Desperados, Tony.
So the Desperados were a group, and I know you can find it on YouTube, Silva, and you probably. I don't know if it's even worth playing today. It was a series, and it was these three goofy cowboys who were waiting on the arrival of Stan Hansen. We knew Stan Hansen was coming, so we did this thing to where these three were going to wait for Stan Hansen to arrive.
Right.
And they were excited for the 3 weeks because they knew that Stan Hansen was going to be here and he was going to team with them or whatever. I heard an interview with Stan Hansen after. Is this Rick Rude and
King Kong Bundy? Let's take a listen.
King
here.
Kong Bundy. Hold on.
Lawler
yeah.
and Savage going against Rude and Bundy. And I want to say that the folks will see in just a moment how you and the first family stood out here and picked a fight right there on television till you finally got it going.
Let me say this right now. I'm about to pull my hair out. Nobody comes on TV and interferes with a conference by the family of professional wrestler. Look at my head. Look at my head. I could have had stitches in my head. Let me tell you something, boys. After Bundy and Rude beat you and down, baby, beat you into that mat, Eddie Cooper, the Nightmares are going to be there. All of us are going to be there. We're going to have one party, right, baby?
Yeah, I hear it.
Who picked that fight, Lance? My back was turned just like this when little Jerry Lawler and Munchkin Man Randy Savage jumped me from behind. Well, take a look at the Dream Team, people. Thunder, Lightning, Muscle, and Mass. What's Randy Savage and Jerry Lawler going to do?
You know, Lance Russell, I have to wonder what kind of a twisted mind you have to say to the first family instigated that incident that everybody saw on TV. We were out there with Jerry, trying to discuss some business, trying to discuss how the family was wronged one more time, and Jerry didn't have the decency to stay there and talk to us. Well, I think you realize, looking at the family, nobody walks away from the family unless we want them to, and Jerry learned that. We were out there, Savage jumped on my back, raked my eyes, clawed my face on, punches everything he could throw. And Lawler did the exact same thing to Ricky. And let me tell you something, you're both going to pay for that. Because you look at the First Family of Wrestling, the most devastating group in professional wrestling today. And nobody puts us down like that, especially on TV where millions of people can see it and gets away with it. Right, Jimmy?
You better believe it, baby. Like I said before, that's the only time we can run Jerry Jarrett down. Why? Because he's over at Jerry Lawler's polishing his car. Or he's over at Randy Savage's cutting his grass, baby. He loves these guys. Well, baby, it's over, baby.
See what happens.
You know what? Let's.
How many times are we going to see Jimmy Hart on this show? Every second so far.
To me. Think of,
he has done everything in the world for me. He guided me to the international heavyweight.
I haven't seen much of
my work because the family, Jimmy. I like to present this to you on television in front of all the audience.
Thank you. Wow. I respect this from the deepest of my heart, too.
You can tell the fans are really impressed in there as Jimmy carrying around his neck brace here on his arm.
His neck, he went through a lot for me, you know, getting pounded his neck, almost out of wrestling. There we go, we got it. I think you're going to like this, Jimmy. It's beautiful. I want you to look at the back.
Let's see what it is.
Look at the back.
It's a jacket, and on the back,
First Family Victory Tour.
I'm going to put it on.
You're going to put it on right now so we can see it. Eddie Gilbert, appreciation of prize to Jimmy Hart. Everybody is duly impressed.
Okay, Lance, you know, now I want to talk about something, say something. Something today disturbs me already coming out here. Dutch Mantel, you must think that all these people are stupid. Now, we're talking about intelligent people watching this show. Now, I know, just like Jimmy, I know you know, and Lance, if you really think about it, you know. Last night, while Tommy Rich and Dutch Mantel were together down in their motel room down here somewhere, one of these $10 rooms, drinking their quart of milk and eating bologna and crackers, old Tommy probably sat back with a big hangover and said, "Oh, Dutch, I wish I could figure out some way where we wouldn't have to show up tomorrow and defend those belts and lose them against the Nightmares." And Dutch says, "Oh, man, maybe we could come up with something where you overslept, Tommy, or maybe we can come up with you had car trouble or something like that." Because you know what, Dutch Mantel? You're nothing but a yellow belly, long-haired all over your body, egg-sucking dog jerk. It's exactly what you are, because he comes from a long line of jerks. Because back in 1896, there in Oil Trough, Texas, people don't know it, but they had to hang his grandpa Mantel for horse feeding down there. See, a lot of people don't know it. So what I want to say is, now, Dutch is here today, right? Dutch Mantel is here today. Tommy Rich is here today. So why don't Dutch come out here and put that international heavyweight title on the line against me today and show what kind of man he is, but he won't do it? Because he's a coward, and I know he's a coward, and he won't come out here, show the jacket, where's he at? He's not here.
They had
to hang his grandpa. I don't know whatever happened to his pa, man.
Don't listen to all this stuff.
I don't want him to come out here. Come on. I want you to come out here. No.
Your face, you big, mucky breath-looking dog.
Call him, man.
Hey, I'll call him anything I want to, Hart. And I'm not a coward. You got a big mouth, and you know how to run it. And you better watch your big, fat lip, Gilbert.
All right, Jack.
Listen, Mantel, I know you're a coward, and I'll prove one thing to you. I know you're a coward so much. I know there's nothing I can do that'll make you put that towel in because that's...
He's just asking for trouble and trying to get it. Why don't you wait till Eddie books it the way you should?
Put that belt up, Gilbert.
I want you to put it up.
I'm going to tell you one thing. Yeah. You can slap me, you can hit me, but I've signed to put a Southern Tag Team match in there, and I can't put both of them up today. But I tell you what I can do, Gilbert.
But you don't ever slap me like that because
you do.
I'm not a coward. You're a coward. You're a coward because you won't put the belt on my back.
I've always been a big fan of what I hear about Eddie, his mind for business and things like that, but. We're seeing a very young Eddie Gilbert here in his prime, I guess, in Memphis wrestling. What was your experience with Eddie like in JCP?
Eddie was really cool. He was a good guy. And he was, for some reason, I thought that, and I may be wrong, JR knows better than I do, and maybe he can address it. For some reason, I feel that he and JR had a problem with each other. I don't know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You think that went back to Mid-South, their time with Watts or whatever?
I have a feeling it did. Yeah. But think about the talent that we've seen on the show. Now, we haven't seen a wrestling match yet, right?
No.
Okay. But we've seen Rick Rude, King Kong Bundy, Jimmy Hart, Dutch Mantel, Eddie Gilbert.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Tommy Rich, who we know is going to be here. And make no mistake, this is Lawler territory.
Right. It's funny. When Eddie Gilbert said, talked about milk and bologna.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tommy Rich is probably still back at the hotel, said, come on, Dutch, we don't have to go, do we? That probably sounds like something that probably really happened.
Oh, 100% it does. Drinking milk and eating bologna and crackers. Mm. Oh, boy, can you imagine that? Yeah. A meal.
I don't think the milk was involved in it.
I don't think there was either. You know, we see these guys stepping into the ring here. We're finally going to get a wrestling match, but before we do, I think we should take a timeout right now, Tony.
Okay, let's do.
And after all this time, man, we're about to finally get to some in-ring action here in Memphis. Let's start the playback here in 3, 2, 1, play. Oh, got a hot start here. So I think that's Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony.
Yeah, the Dirty White Boys, right?
Yep.
Got all four, and Aaron Regan pounded down on the deck as Ken Raper.
Mark Regan, and I think that's Ken Raper.
Okay.
Maybe the least cool name you can get. Ken Raper.
Mark Regan down on the deck, and out of the ring they go. With Denton tying it up and Denton blasting back across the ring.
Did I just see a wipe, some sort of transition in the middle of a match?
Yes, you did.
Mark, who wrestles out of New York City. The young fellow who's got a lot
based
of
on the commercials, Tony. Not only in Denton, one of those said Evansville. It makes me think this is not the original Memphis feed. I mean, certainly it is the Memphis show.
Right. But I think
this is a tape in another market as opposed to the actual Memphis version, because you saw another transition right there.
Right, absolutely.
That's what's fun about why when you discover these old footage here, like whether it's you know, way back in the tape trading days, you would see the commercials and you would think, where was this originally recorded?
Right.
You could sort of try to place where it was. Oh, this is from Indiana, or this is from Illinois, or this is from Ohio, or whatever it was. And I think we'll probably try to pay some more attention during the next commercial break and see if we can place it. But that would be my guess, is that this is not recorded from a Memphis VCR.
Yeah, I was talking to Dick Bourne about old Mid-Atlantic episodes from the 70s that have been lost.
Yeah.
And he's looked all over for them. He's, you know, he contacted the local TV station, see maybe they kept one, didn't return it, or they used to bicycle tapes back then. But I'm sure somebody out there's got something.
Hey, I might have something soon. I reached out. I'm going to say it was 3 years ago. It may have been 4 years ago, and left a voicemail on somebody, you know's voicemail, because I heard that they might have some cool stuff.
Okay.
And I got a return voicemail 3 or 4 years later last week. And so now we're trying to coordinate a visit, and, you know, the conversation started with, I got this, I got that. And I'm like, I don't really care about that. I don't really want that. And then some combinations of words fell out of his mouth, and I said, oh, I got to get that, and I got to show it to Tony.
Okay.
So I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to jinx it. I'll give you a little teaser off air, but I'm going to be planning a little road trip soon, and hopefully I have some cool stuff to show you.
All right, man. Now I'm excited. I know it don't sound that way, but I am.
By the way, we should mention AEW is going to be in Memphis, and so is Dave Brown, the fellow you see right there on your right. And tickets are available now at AEWTIX.com. Have you got to spend much time with Dave?
Only the show that we did, We did the show out at one of the Mississippi suburbs of Memphis. Where was that? And he came to that show, and then I saw him, of course, at Jerry Jarrett's funeral. So that was the only times that I've spent any time with Dave. But he's really a gentleman.
Heck of a guy.
Yeah, really a nice
Everybody
man.
I've ever talked to who spent any time with him had nothing but nice things to say. And let's see what old Lance Russell has to say here. Let's track it.
Doing the dancing and all, but I got to ask you, what in the world you got a handicap match? Let me tell you, you know and I know, these are two tough monkeys up there in the ring.
Yeah, you got that right, but I'm going to tell you, these guys humiliated me last week. They embarrassed me on television.
They jumped you right while you were dancing.
And I went back to my motel. I called my Uncle Richard. He told me, Mark, if you don't wrestle him, if you don't go back, you might be through wrestling him because you can't sidestep. I got to go in there and I got to wrestle these guys. If I don't beat them now, I'll wrestle them next week and the week after that because I tell you, I know I can take these guys. They're tough. And
boy, you're doing it the hard way in a handicap match, I'll tell you that.
Hey, let me tell you, soon enough, Hart, I'm going to do it and I'm going to tell you, I'm done. I'm not going to do any more dancing. No more dancing until after my match.
Yeah, do it after the match. Don't do it with these guys in there. You leave yourself wide open.
And I owe these guys for what they did to me. They opened me up. And I intend to get back.
Okay, good luck to you in there, Mark. I'm not so certain that's exactly the way that...
Well, that was not the best promo we ever saw right there.
No.
Everybody learned somewhere, I guess.
Yeah. Not all promos worked. Not everybody had a chance to do a good, or not everybody could do a good promo, but they would give you a shot.
Yeah.
And again, I, to this day, it wasn't that long ago that we were doing promos in the back and we asked this wrestler, would you like to do a promo? And the wrestler told us, I got to put my match together. And I thought, you just don't get it.
You're saying in the more modern era?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You just don't get it. And what I'm saying you don't get it is being able to do a promo.
Yeah, this was your chance.
This is your chance. It's probably more important than you putting together a match.
Probably. Yeah. It is. This is definitely, yeah. Yes. Man. Well, listen, I wanted to ask, in your opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you have an idea or what was the worst promo you ever held the microphone for?
Wow.
Don't shit on anybody currently working.
No, because some of the worst stuff that I did was back then.
Right.
Right. I'll still say that my worst promos that I did were, Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer.
Okay.
Because he just screamed.
Right.
He was either, you know, drugged or whatever. He smelled bad, smelled horrible. And he had cotton mouth. So he spit. He had a lot of saliva and he spit all over the microphone and all over me and everything was terrible. So by memory, that was the worst.
Now, conversely, when you think about the best, was there one where you held the mic and then afterwards you were like, I can't believe I got to do that. That was history.
Yeah. The first time I held the mic for Roddy Piper and when he came in, I never will forget thinking to myself at that time. And I still think about this, that Roddy had come in and he just arrived. And I remember him in the back and Gene Anderson told me, well, you got to get this thing done. We got to get it out. Roddy said, I'm sorry. A flight got in late or whatever, and they gave him the dog collar, and he just cut the best promo of the day with me. And I remember thinking, this guy's really fucking special.
Yeah.
Being able to do that on the fly. And again, is it Rufus R. Freight Train Jones? Holy shit, track that.
Do it now, baby. Do it now. Are you ready for it? All right. He's a fine dancer, and he is also an excellent young prospector.
Let me tell you something. You're talking about The dirty white boy.
Dirty white flag.
I've been robbed. The world. When you hear the name, the dirty white boy, that means they have a dirty heart. Because, let me tell you something, dirty white boy. Right now, you are looking at the dirty white boy. And I will do anything to win a match. Because, brother, you ain't going to stop me. I went to 10 universe and have 5 of them right here. Cold sucker, when you fall, Rupert Dawes, do not stop. And nobody stand in my way. So, dirty white boy, no matter where you be at, brother.
We got
Rupert
a southern Dawes, tag match.
You'll be there.
And we got
to guarantee I will.
Okay, partner, we're going to take time out and we will be back with that southern tag match a little bit later in the program.
So they're taking a break, Tony. We will too, and we're going to take a break. Let's see what they're trying to get us to sign up for here on Memphis Wrestling. In 3, 2, 1, play.
Due to an overwhelming response, the Waterbed Land Big Top Tent Sale has been extended.
The Big Top!
Waterbed Land in Lawndale has fabulous prices on the beautiful country manor, the luxurious rosewood, and elegant brass beds. Get 20 to 50% off selected furniture groups this weekend only.
And what about the tent?
The Waterbed Land Tent Sale this weekend in Lawndale Shopping Center, Evansville.
But what about the tent?
If we had to buy a tent, we couldn't afford to give you such great deals. Waterbed Land, open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 9, and Sunday, noon to 6.
The tent sale, whether it is.
When Ford has a sales event, it's big, very big. Right now, during Ford National Truck Week, the savings are big. Only $59.93 buys you this Tough Ranger S, America's best-selling small truck. Save $733 with free air conditioning on this full-size Explorer pickup. You can't buy Bigfoot, but you can get the next toughest thing to it.
Man, our
Ford
Bigfoot
truck
thing.
Big factory savings.
How did they brand Bigfoot so well?
I don't know.
Everybody knew about
it. I'm going to take out 60 seconds of this wild action on this championship wrestling program to tell you this, that on Sunday, October the 7th, Lewisport, Kentucky, at the Hancock County Middle School, that's the location, Hancock County Middle School, match time is going to be 3 p.m. in the afternoon. That's at Lewisport, Kentucky, Sunday, October the 7th. Hart and some of the first family will be there, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, others in Lewisport. Then on Saturday, October the 13th, Centralia, Illinois, wrestling will come flying out your way. How about this coming Wednesday night? The entire card reads like this. Mark Batten against Angelo Poppo. Johnny Wilhoit against the Spoiler. Tojo Yamamoto against Sir Lanny Poppo. International title match. Mantell and Gilbert Tangle. Southern tag team title. Mantell and Rich against the Nightmares. And then Lawler and Savage going against Rude and King Kong Bundy with Jimmy Hart at ringside. And all I can tell you is that what you have seen today is just a sample of the action you're going to see Wednesday night. Get your tickets and be there.
To be a one-fall, 15-minute time limit match, introducing at 249 pounds from Nashville, Tennessee, over here on the left of your screen, Ernie Kirkland, and going against him from Japan, 220 pounds, Tojo Yamamoto. This is one-fall, 15-minute
time. Tony, whenever I talk to anybody locally here about old-school wrestling, they always bring up Tojo. Did you ever get to see Tojo work in person?
No, not at all. I did not. But I know he was, I mean, he was basically in Mid-South his entire life, right? Or in Memphis his entire life.
I think he spent most of his time there for sure, yeah.
Yeah, right. And kind of unique because you didn't have many Japanese wrestlers that would stay in the United States.
Well, I mean, I think he had an American mother and a Japanese father. He was born in Hawaii, so he wasn't like...
Okay.
Yeah, it was a gimmick, you know what I mean?
A gimmick, gotcha.
But, I mean, he was in the Marine Corps and taught judo, and we all know he had that restaurant in the area, but ultimately he had a lot of health problems late in his life. I think he actually finished wrestling a handful of years after this, call it 90, 91, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I think it was 92 that he said, hey, man, that's enough of this. I'm out of here.
Right.
Sadly, took his own life.
God.
So I don't know what all the circumstances were in his life, but there's been lots of speculation that he was in a bad way health wise. Like he had some pretty severe diabetes and kidney issues, and
okay,
maybe he was like, that's enough.
Well, you know, there's also something else that I don't think we consider, and that is, you know, we see all these wrestlers today, and of course, you know, you mentioned that Lex Luger is going to be a part of ad-free shows soon, and
yeah,
how we're excited about it. And of course, he had some terrible health problems, but I just think that the bumps these guys take.
Oh, it adds up, man.
It adds up. And when I saw Darby the other night hit the steps.
Oh, God.
You know, I'm thinking, God bless you, Darby, but in 30 years, 20 years, those things will come back to haunt you. I mean, take a look at Mick Foley, right?
Yeah. He's having a hard time getting around.
Of course. Hulk Hogan's had a hard time getting around.
Yeah.
From what I understand. And that's what I understand from talking to Eric. Maybe he's talked about it on his podcast. But he just, the things they put their body through, and just.
What'd you think of that, that stair spot with Darby?
I thought they were out of their mind.
I did too.
Yeah. You even sent me a text.
Well, and here's the thing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to be one of those guys, you know, saying, oh, in my day, you know, I mean, I'm not an old timey wrestler saying blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, man, as a fan, I don't want to see that. Like, and maybe it's because I'm too close to it now, but
yeah,
you know, I've mentioned it a few times on the program. I was at a GCW show and a guy got cut pretty bad with a light tube and had to be rushed to the hospital. And I was having a great time drinking beer and fellowshipping and laughing. And it was a big party atmosphere. When that happened, it was very sobering. And I was like, I don't want to see that anymore. I don't want to know that I'm watching someone get seriously hurt. And I know that there's the machismo factor of saying, oh, I'm okay. I rub some dirt on it and I'll be all right. I get all that, but it's like, yeah, but I just don't want to see it anymore. And like even old ECW stuff. And I am such a big ECW fan. I have the ECW world title and the entrance letters and the doggone sign is right behind me right now from the outside of the building. I'm such a big fan, but those flush chair shots to the head that I loved as a kid, I'm thinking, yeah, now I'm like, no, And so when I saw that stair spot, I was like, oh, dude, please don't do that. And again, it's not my place to do that. It's their decision. They're the professionals. They know what the risks are. But as a fan, I just worry, and it's not even my place to worry, but I do. And I just think I don't really want to see that sort of thing.
Well, not necessarily, talking about that spot, which was,
crazy,
which was crazy, but you can go back through any show that we do.
Yes.
And any show that, whoops.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Now I want to see Lynn Thompson.
Okay.
We were right up in her teeth there.
Well, I think she's trying to show off some jewelry.
Okay.
So you can save 35% every day.
35% every day. We mark up the prices 70%, but you can save 35% off of that.
Yeah. Ta-da.
At Rogers Jewelry, better quality and always lower prices.
They're like a Walmart or a Food World logo right there.
Yeah.
Tell me they're not going for the Walmart look right there.
Yeah, they are.
What's this lady talking about?
It's Lois and Matt.
Walmart really helps. I know no matter what day I come to Walmart, I'll save. Oh. Their prices are always low.
That's the Walmart savings tradition. Low prices every day. And starting Tuesday, we'll be celebrating our 22nd anniversary. Come in and join the celebration. 22 years of saving. It's a Walmart tradition.
It's a better day when you save the Walmart way.
Now, at Jack Taylor Chrysler Plymouth Dodge, not only do we give low prices, but we also have an extra bonus. Buy any new 1984 Chrysler Laser or Dodge Daytona at our dealer cost, and we'll give you a free Norwegian Blue Fox jacket from Schultz's Women's Apparel. That's right, it's the best of both worlds. The new Chrysler Laser or Dodge Daytona at dealer cost, plus a lady's luxurious Blue Fox jacket. Only at Jack Taylor Chrysler Plymouth Dodge in Henderson, the price setter in the tri-state.
Create a room with Fan World's wide variety and top quality lighting.
Fan World?
Wow, Waterbed World next to Fan World.
All handcrafted with deviled glass and the finest solid brass. Create an effect from the popular track lighting to...
That's actually a cool lamp right there.
I need it like that.
Create a special setting with a chandelier by Classic Lighting.
That's the best flare special right there.
Fan World at the corner of Tippecanoe and Green River Road.
What were we talking about?
You could go back and watch any show of ours.
And you could look at that and say, that match would have been fine without that bump.
Right.
And I know what they do.
Less is more sometimes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
And I know what they do it for. They do it for the fan reaction. That's what drives them. Sometimes I wonder, and I get caught up in it too, you know, the excitement of it.
How could you not?
Right. But sometimes I sit back and I wonder, how many dives do we actually need in the show?
Right.
And I remember one time, not going to say who the wrestler was because it's not a well-known wrestler.
And it's not important, really.
It's not important. First match, dark match of the night, he did a damn dive. And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing? You know, I guess I'm the old school where you kind of build up.
Right.
And why would you do a dive in a match that meant nothing when we got some really spectacular dives coming up? Because we got, can't remember, but probably the Lucha Brothers coming up and
something crazy is coming that we know
right.
about. Yeah.
Right. So, sometimes less is more.
Well, listen, I understand. And I also think that, you know, respectfully, that's their call, not mine and your call.
Sure, of course it is.
Do whatever you want to do. But I'm just saying, as a fan, what I don't want is anyone to get hurt or have their career shortened. Like, you know, and nobody talks about it. And I don't know why, but it feels like maybe because it was so long ago. But think about the crazy style and the crazy bumps that a real innovator in the space, like Dynamite Kid. You know, and his later life, how challenging that was. And, you know, I think you could attribute a lot of that to style and the number of dates. Now that is one of the things that the current generation, I suppose, or just the current way wrestling is operating, the crazy schedule, boy, it's not nearly what it was. It's still not arduous. I'm not arguing that, but I'm saying, you know, we're not wrestling 31 days in a row or whatever.
Right. Right.
But man, I just, I did text you and, you know, I'm not trying to create any controversy. I'm just saying, I don't want to see anybody get hurt. Not for my enjoyment. I wouldn't enjoy that.
Yeah. No, the text from you was basically like, wow.
Yeah.
And I went, wow, at the same time. Like, wow. Like,
I think I texted WTF.
Yeah, it could have been.
Because I said that to myself watching it, like, what the fuck is happening? I hope he's okay. My God.
Yeah. And I don't know his condition at all, to be honest with you. But I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, look at that big body slam in slow motion from Rick Rude. Give me more of that.
Yeah.
Let's walk it back a little bit. I'm okay with that.
By the way, I think I've mentioned this. King Kong Bundy and I were born on the same day.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, November 7th, 1957.
How about that?
Yeah.
Let's listen to old Lance here.
I hate to be on that mat and see him coming at me like that. Ooh, goodness gracious. We're delighted to have the opportunity again to have, hey, Jerry, thanks for coming out here. This time we got him out here because for those who do not know, in Memphis, Tennessee, last Tuesday night, there was the biggest wrestling spectacular in my entire long career of wrestling I have ever seen. Names from all over the country, former champions, I've never seen anything like it. It was the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee was chosen as the host spot to tape four television shows for New York City and national and international distribution.
And they selected Jerry Jarrett as the host promoter. And I got to tell you, Jerry, it had to be an undertaking that just boggled your mind with all the talent and promoters in town.
Well, it was a lot of work, and there was a lot of pressure, and it was exciting. It was, I've never seen such an array of talent. We had Rick Martel, the AWA champion mayor, Bob Backlund, the New York champion mayor, Dory Funk, Harley Race, Nick Bockwinkel, three former champions.
Superstar Billy Graham was
yeah,
there.
Superstar Billy.
Road Warriors, the World Tag Champions.
Fabulous ones. Jerry Lawler, Tommy Rich. It was just, it was very exciting. And although it was a lot of work, it turned out to be, I think, four excellent television.
Well, I got to tell you, when I talked to Eddie Graham, for instance, out of the Florida promotion, and talked to Vern Gagne and all of the guys, and they were so thrilled with the work that you put in. And I know you've won a lot of trophies and championships and all, but I think this may have a spot in your heart. They wanted a tangible display of their appreciation for the work that you put in on an incredible, incredible program that took place. And they asked me to present this to you and just thank you very much for an outstanding job of having just a super, super night of action, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Lance.
Okay. Well, it comes from all of the guys, Bill Watts and all of them. They really wanted something that would just let you have something you could keep in your house in there and let you know that they really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Jerry, that was a super, super night of action. And will you show some class?
You accepted all-time awards, Jerry Jarrett. What's this award for, Mr. Jarrett? It's for promoting the big Pro USA wrestling show in Memphis, right?
Yeah.
You're the big promoter, right? Well, let me tell you what you forgot. You forgot the two greatest pieces of talent in professional wrestling today, Robert G. Rick Rude and your Southern Heavyweight Champion, King Kong Bundy. Why weren't we on the card, Jarrett?
Can we talk about this if you...
I want to talk about it now! Why weren't we on the card? Just give me a good... Give me a good reason.
Look, Hart.
I call your office, that low-life secretary tells me you're out of town. I want to know why we weren't on the card.
Let's just discuss this where we're supposed to in the office.
No, right
let's
here.
Let's discuss it right here,
Jared.
We can't find
why
you.
Why weren't we on the card?
This is not the place to discuss business. Let's talk about it in the office.
Wherever we say we're going to discuss business, Judge, wherever the... Shut up, Lance! I want to know why Robert G. Rick Rude and King Kong Bundy weren't on the big card.
We made two of Savage and Lawler. Lawler was all over in the tournament. We beat his butt all over the United States, and you put him in a tournament, and he's going to be on the big show. What about your talent? What about the stars, Jared?
What are you trying to embarrass somebody? Why don't you do this?
I want the man to give you a straight answer. No. I want a straight answer, Jared. That's all I want from you.
I had some nominations to be on the card. So did all of the other six promoters. There was a select committee of which I wasn't even a part of that chose the talent. I recognize y'all, or I wouldn't have you working for this company, as two of the top talent from the country. But I didn't pick the talent for that program.
Yeah, but where was your Stu? You know, Stu, Jerry Lawler was right there on every tape. Lawler was there. Every match, every tape, Jerry Lawler was there. And you have $2 million piece of talent, and we weren't there.
Mind you, we'll take this up in the office.
Why don't you just let it lie?
Hey,
listen.
We'll take it up right here, Jerry.
Come on.
The people know what's going on.
Yeah.
Why, Jerry?
Why are we here? Somebody else.
I don't own this television.
But no, hey, have we got an answer?
No answer.
When you got a 450-pound brick house and a 240-pound brick house, you can do whatever you want.
We're
not done talking to you yet, Jerry. You don't walk away on King Kong Bundy and Robert G. Rick Rude.
So it's breaking down here. What do you think of the use of Jerry Jarrett as the promoter here to add to the storyline? Why weren't we booked on that card? I kind of like that.
I did too. You know, as soon as Lance came up with that trophy,
Yeah, you knew what was
coming. I'm thinking angle alert. And then he started to walk off, and I thought, well, maybe not. And then, of course, here they came back, and I thought, yeah, I was right. Angle alert. They've destroyed the set. Here it goes. They got it. Oh, they used it, of course.
Man, Rick Rude. Imagine not too long after this, he's going to become a household name. He's about to be a huge, huge star with Vince McMahon and the WWF. I guess along the way, he works for y'all, though. He was with y'all before he went to Vince.
Yeah, he was. He and the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez were a world tag team champions at one time.
Everybody came through Memphis, didn't they?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I like how they turned over the set and everything here. Look at this.
Yeah, the desk is upside down.
I know Dutch Mantel dove in there. I don't know who else that was that dove in there and got a part of it.
Man, this is a Pier 6 brawl. Look at Lance Russell just walking around with a microphone. Just
come on now. Stop that.
Oh, come on now. I mean, you think he's like, he's the type of guy who just like want to pull the hose out and start spraying him down like it was a couple of dogs fighting or something.
Exactly. And this one guy with the white shirt on that Rick Rude is hitting kind of looks like Bruce Pritchard.
Well, I assure you it's not. He didn't have a wiener hanging out of his mouth. He was a Paul Bosch disciple back then, boy.
Yeah. Look at this.
Oh, they're going after the backdrop. And everybody else is like, no, don't take that down. That belongs to the TV station.
Oh, that was great.
That was awesome, dude. Oh, how fun is that?
Look at Jimmy. Jimmy on his hands and knees crawling out.
He's going to be a big star.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And Bundy got a pretty good run, too, actually.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He just did some crowd surfing. Just dive right over the top. Let's track it here.
Okay.
The announcers are laying out. Just letting the fans make the punch back here. Oh, the police are involved now.
Well, it looks like the locker room is empty.
Let's take a break, and we'll try to get this settled down. Let's take a break.
All right, we'll take a time out right there. You can see Jeff's father-in-law running out, or not father-in-law, but grandfather coming out and giving the Iggy to Lance Russell. We got to go to break. And we're going to go to break here. You know, I want to ask you about did you see I guess it's a mini documentary about Rick Rude. Have you seen this on YouTube?
No.
Well, since Rick Rude is on the program, I thought we should at least mention it. There's like a little miniature documentary on YouTube about Rick Rude and the rumor and innuendo that way back when, my man liked to have some fun with his wiener.
A lot of guys did.
And the story was that he would inject Viagra straight into his wiener. Like, now it was almost implied that it was like you would melt down Viagra.
Okay.
And shoot it right into your wiener meat.
Hang on a second.
Like, yeah, I know it's made for you to take it in the mouth, but apparently if you get injected into your penis with like a needle. Now that was the rumor, and I never thought that made sense. But then years later, I heard that adult film stars would use something called Caverject, or CAVERJECT, I think.
Okay.
The idea is it's like a shot you give your wiener and you get instantly hard right away. And I guess some porn stars were doing that. Yikes. But as you might imagine, I'm not really one to want to put needles in my wing. Like, I don't want to do that.
No, me neither.
And the story as it goes is that perhaps when Rick Rude died, it wasn't an accidental overdose. Perhaps it was planned because he had his penis amputated. That's the rumor and innuendo. Have you ever heard?
Never.
That perhaps he injected his meat so much that it became a problem and he had to get his penis cut off.
And thus he committed suicide?
Well, I guess he was really proud of his penis and it was a big part of his life. I know mine's been a big part of mine and we've gone a lot of places together and seen a lot of things and had a lot of good times together. And the idea that he was going to have to say farewell to his friend was enough for him to say, that's enough.
Well, you guys who depend on your dick are just another species.
Well, here's what happened. I asked Bruce Pritchard about this years ago and he said, nope, never heard that. Hearing it for the first time now sounds stupid.
Yeah, it does sound
stupid. And, but this is one of those urban legends, but it also, so anyway, so Tony, on the record officially, never heard about anybody having their wiener amputated in wrestling, right?
No. Also, let me ask, what can anybody tell me, do you know this, about that documentary? Is it a documentary that was put together by a
professional? It's a nice man with a YouTube just giving his opinion.
That's all it is? Okay, yeah. So he's as full of shit as a Christmas turkey.
Well, I don't think he actually knew Rick Rude personally.
Well, then go fucking take a fucking hike.
And try Blue Chew at bluechew.com/WHW. Use our promo code WHW like What Happened When.
Yeah.
You hit the rude awakening on your partner.
Documentaries that are done on streaming services like Netflix or Max or something like that. Those legit documentary. This is a bullshit thing.
Hey, have you seen the Prince of Second Chances? I think that's what it's called.
No.
You got to go watch it.
What's it on?
Let's see if I can find it. It's on Netflix. The Saint of Second Chances. The Saint of Second Chances. It's on Netflix. It's about baseball back when you liked it. Mm-hmm. And then they talk about minor league baseball.
Okay.
You will love it. I'm sure you know the whole story, but still, you'll love it.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I don't. I don't love much these days. As far as TV shows are concerned.
You like Bill Veeck?
You
like Mike?
Mike?
You like minor league baseball?
Not like I used to.
Do you like the White Sox?
Not really.
Do you like stories about promotions in baseball?
No.
Do you like stories about father-daughter relationships?
No.
Do you like music?
No.
Do you like money?
Yes.
Do you like food?
Yes.
Do you like your wife?
Yes.
Do you like dogs?
Yes.
Do you like your penis?
Not really.
Do you like Blue Chew?
Yes.
Do you like Georgia barely beating Auburn?
Yeah.
Do you like Tennessee probably losing to Alabama in a couple weeks?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you like Florida losing to Kentucky?
Oh, yeah.
Do you like Adam Copeland being in AEW?
Yes.
Do you like getting paid every week by Tony Khan?
Yes.
Do you like John Moxley on commentary?
Yes.
Do you like seeing Darby fall into the stairs?
No.
Do you like waking up and starting every day with one scoop of delicious AG1?
Yes.
Do you like knowing that you're going to have more energy and more clarity and more strength and more focus because of AG1?
Yes, I do.
Do you like that there's 75 ingredients that set you up for like a nutritional platform to cover all your bases for the whole day?
I think that's wonderful. Yes.
Do you like things that taste good?
Yes. Are we in the midst of an AG1 spot here?
Do you like something that replaces your multivitamin and your probiotic and more in one simple drinkable habit?
Yes. Apparently Dave Silva's not on the joke yet.
So Tony, are you really not going to watch The Saint of Second Chances?
I might. It has to do with Bill Veeck and the White Sox.
Yeah. And Charlie Day's in it. I know you like him from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Daryl Strawberry's in it. Jeff Daniels does the voiceover for it. It's good.
Okay.
It's about fucking baseball, you asshole.
Baseball ain't what it used to be.
Did you watch the Kelce documentary on Hulu?
Kelce?
Yeah. You know, about Travis Kelce and his brother, Jason Kelce.
No. Uh-uh.
Well, my wife loves it. She's now an Eagles fan, and she informed me that we're Eagles fans. I can't tell my dad that. He's a lifelong Cowboys fan, but I guess with Jalen over there and Devonta, it's fine.
Okay.
If you had to pull for a pro team, don't say the fucking Jaguars. Who would it be? Falcons?
Oh, no, the Falcons. Falcons are on my hate list.
Okay. So who's on your, you like the stupid ass Redskins?
No, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, that's right. Stupid ass Commanders.
Yeah.
They lost to Megan's Eagles over the weekend. Hey, that sounds good. Megan's Eagles.
Megan's Eagles. Boy, who's one of my favorite teams? I don't know. I can't say Jaguars, right?
Can't say Jaguars.
Okay.
Could you name 12 Jaguars players right now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I'm not going to quiz you on it because I don't want to get you in trouble, but I don't think you can.
Yeah.
12's a lot.
Well, two of them are Georgia Bulldogs.
Okay. Can you name 10 others?
Tyson Campbell and...
Hey, they set an attendance record over at Wembley, didn't they?
Yes.
You think Trevor Lawrence gets that tatted on his arm?
I don't think so.
Let's get back to the Memphis program. We'll watch a little Memphis wrestling here. Start our playback. They were going to a commercial. Let's enjoy some commercials from 1984. Here we go in 3, 2, 1, play.
How about it? By golly, don't go away because we still got some more action coming up here right here on Channel 7's Championship Wrestling. I want to tell you, Wednesday night, you're talking about action. Woo! When you get out of that final event where Rude and Bundy are going to have to get in that ring and Lawler and Savage are going to be waiting on them, friend, that's going to be something else. Let's get them in here. The King and the Macho Man, Jerry, they were saying you guys jumped them from behind and still couldn't beat them out there.
Oh, is that what they said? That's what Rude and Bundy and Hart said, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they're lying, Lance. You know how you can tell if they're lying? If their lips are moving, they're lying. Jumped them right, and we were looking them right square in the eyes when we jumped them, and we whipped them all over that TV station. If they were right here, we'd whip them right here, right now. But we're going to have to wait till Wednesday night. Evansville, sure. Indiana. I haven't been there in a long time, Lance. I'm looking forward to coming back. But, you know, thinking back, did you ever watch, Lance, an old TV show or a good movie, and just when you were getting real interested, just when you were getting real excited, they were coming right to the climax, and all of a sudden on the screen they say, to be continued.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hate that. That used to make me so mad. But what you saw today is going to be continued Wednesday night at the Evansville Coliseum, and I'm happy about that. To it, but we're going to use the chairs. We're going to use anything we can get our hands on, Lance. It's going to be no stopping it Wednesday night in Evansville. Is that right, Macho Man?
10,000 people killing 10,000 lives. And Jerry the King Lawler, yeah, he said that he was looking right in his eyes when we jumped him. And hell yeah, that's true. But let me tell you something, Rick Rude and Bundy, yeah, I like to attack from behind too. It really doesn't matter, man, how I get the job done. Because that's the way that me and the King, we do real, real, real well together, yeah. We complement each other because opposites attract, yeah. One in a million times situation, and it's going to continue, yeah. To be continued, yeah. But they don't want to continue what we started right there. No, they don't want to do that. No, they don't want to do that because they can't handle what we got. Lance Russell, let me tell you something. That Evansville building is going to be upside down, yeah. Upside down. Nothing's going to be left.
Not gonna forfeit. I didn't fight for this just to give it back to him. I'm not doing that, Arch. You're not getting off that easy. Tommy's not here. I don't know where he is, but I'll tell you what, Arch, you're not getting a forfeit. I'll take both of you guys on because I fought too long and too hard for this. I'll put it down right here. No. Well, if I lose it, I lose it, but I'm gonna lose it myself, baby. I'm not giving it to you.
I guess I
this is Dutch Mantel gonna be wrestling tight bears. Look at Jerry Lawler, or not Jerry Lawler, but Jimmy Hart trying to open those ropes for him. Isn't it interesting when you take a look at this program and you think about how many of those folks would go on to work in the WWE?
Yeah.
And then maybe more interestingly, who didn't?
Right. Like Dutch.
Like Dutch Mantel was a great wrestler. And man, you want to talk about a guy who had an interesting look. He had an interesting look. Now, I know he's not necessarily the biggest guy.
Right.
But with all that body here, as silly as that sounds, like that was the calling card of George the Animal Steel. And I know he ate the turnbuckle and all that, but it feels like you could have had him out here carrying a bullwhip or whatever you wanted him to do once he was in JCP. And that could have really worked for Vince McMahon too. I'm curious why Vince never gravitated to him. We know he got his shot, you know, what, 20 years later or
right. maybe
even that, 12 years later as a manager.
As a manager, right.
But like here, he could have, I don't know. I could see in this national expansion him being a character that could have worked. And, you know, we saw like Jimmy Hart go on to have all that great success and Rick Rude have all that great success and King Kong Bundy and certainly Randy Savage. And I guess it makes sense when you think about a Jerry Lawler, like part of me is like, how did Lawler not want on that train? But then it's like, well, then your income sort of dictated to you by somebody else. Who knows how much you'll make here. You're probably still printing money. You're home in your bed every night. You're kind of in control. I mean, I get why Lawler would not want to leave his really cush deal here. Why would you want to never be home 300 days a year for probably the same or maybe less money? I get that. But Dutch Mantell, man, like, I could argue that he could have done something for Vince there.
Two things I'm thinking of here, and you never know why Vince did what he did. I mean, Bruce obviously knows Vince a lot better than I do, but what comes to mind here is number one, maybe Dutch was too Southern for Vince back then.
Hmm.
Or number two, maybe Dutch and Vince had an issue. I don't know. Maybe they talked and Vince didn't like you. I don't know.
I feel like Vince probably has see, that's the thing. Like part of me wants to say he has like a prototype in his head of what the look needs to be.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, we say that, but then we've seen him push guys like George the Animal Steel, and I don't think he was winning any bodybuilding competition.
Wasn't George Animal Steel though? One of those guys that was almost kind of grandfathered in.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys who obviously worked for Vince's dad back in the day, I would think, that Vince still used.
Let's do a few questions from our live studio audience. Appreciate you guys showing up and showing out for us. Bobby wants to know, hey, Tony, how do the commercials get programmed into the show? Is there a specific order or is it up to the network? Are the announcers made aware of the commercial order?
We have no idea what's going on with commercials, Bobby. None. That's completely separate from what we do.
Do you see the commercials?
No.
I mean, like, okay. So when you're in, you don't have like another monitor. So you know what's going on the feed or whatever.
No, we do not see the commercials at all.
So you didn't know about the transition from the Nick Gage, Chris Jericho pizza cutter spot right into a pizza commercial until you saw it on social
or until I heard about it.
Right.
Yeah. Didn't know about it.
Did you think at the time that was funny or did you think, oh shit, that's going to be bad?
I thought, wow, how about that? And then I thought, it's probably going to be bad because
of the climate we're in.
Yeah. Right.
Cause I'm telling you, if I was like, you want to talk about product integration, goddamn, that couldn't have been better timing. Like if that was my pizza company, I would have thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tremendous. You couldn't plan that.
Yeah.
Jim wants to know, Tony, random question. Speaking of bad commercials, promos, and bad ideas, the deputy commissioner of the NHL last week said it might be time to explore expansion to Atlanta again. What are your thoughts?
It's not going to work in Atlanta.
Why not?
It's not. It's never worked in Atlanta. They've had the Flames. They've got the Gladiators, which are up at the Gas South Arena where we wrestle. And they had the Thrashers. It's just not going to work. End of story. They'll end up going to like Hartford and become the Hartford Whalers again or something like that. And then again, who gives a shit about hockey?
Right. Well, I don't give a shit about hockey, but I know a lot of our friends do. And
yeah,
I assume it's going to become a bigger topic of AEW now. I mean, you got Edge, who I think is Adam Copeland, who's a huge hockey guy. And I mean, right. I guess if you're from Canada, as Bruce says, you're supposed to be a hockey fan. Like if you're from where you and I live, you're supposed to be a college football fan.
Yeah. Right. I guess it's all from where you're from. Right. Yeah.
It wouldn't be what happened when, if we didn't have some Tony Schiavone cell phone sounds.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I don't know what we're allowed to talk about or not allowed to talk about. I know we addressed it on Patreon, but let me just ask as blanketly as I can. How's Lois?
She's doing much better. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Yeah.
And I, my understanding is you guys are on a countdown to another grandbaby. Is that right?
Yeah. Christmas time.
When's that new album drop? You going to get some pictures of that rascal in his, in a stocking?
Knowing my daughter, she may go for that.
You got to do that.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, we're renting some appliances. Here we go.
There we go.
Appliances, refrigerator, freezer. Don't spend your hard-earned cash on large down payments. Try our rental ownership plan and make low weekly or monthly payments. At All Renco, there are no credit checks, no long-term obligations. Call today, get it today, and save your cold cash for when you really need it.
You can rent what you need at All Renco. The only way to get
Evansville.
Yeah.
Walmart.
Dude, they're hammering
Walmart. The Walmart way, it will save you time and money whenever you shop. The Walmart way brings you low prices every day. The Walmart way is quality merchandise in stock to save you time right through checkout and a guarantee of satisfaction on every item. Discover the Walmart way. There's no better place to save. Goodbye.
It's a better day when you save the Walmart way.
I'm getting a call here. Hey, Rick, I'm taping a podcast with Tony. I'll call you right back. He said for me to tell you, fuck Tony.
Who is that, Rick?
Yeah.
At his age. Know,
it's like he's got a radar. Whenever you and I are recording, when we did our bonus episodes, he called this weekend too.
Yeah. Well, he's a goof. He has no idea what's going on in life.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's a hurtful comment.
What day is it? Shivani? Shut up.
You think he's going to take you for a couple massages sometime soon?
Don't think so.
I recommend it. I think you should go.
What, is he still in Florida?
Yeah, he's in Tampa. Okay. Living it up, man.
There you go.
And, hey man, listen, this was a fun time. I love watching the old school.
Was that the end of the show?
Yeah, that was the end of the show. It ended in the middle of the match. hey, listen, I actually like that. I know you don't like that because you want everything to be overproduced.
Yes, but I do.
I think it's cool when we add a little realism, and you know, we're going to stay with it as long as time, our television, a lot of time allows here on television and, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, but yeah, that's how it ended. But the big brawl where they tore apart the set, that was really ahead of its time.
That was, I mean, pretty, I know,
cool. That would happen on Raw and it would happen on Nitro, but that was years and years later. They were doing that here in 84.
Was Lawler involved in that? Because he kind of mentioned that he was on that promo afterwards.
He was the guy in the white shirt that you said looked like Bruce. I thought you were being a smart ass.
You sure he was the guy in the white shirt, or was he the guy?
He tore the white. Yeah. He's running around with a torn white shirt.
Okay. I wasn't being a smart ass there for a change.
Oh, okay. I'm just so conditioned
for me being a smart ass.
Smart ass. That it was like, oh yeah, he's just being a smart ass. Oh, it looks like Bruce Pritchard.
Yep.
All right. Well, Tony, this was fun, man. I enjoy watching some of this old school wrestling. I think next week we're going to be watching an old school WWE Superstars. And, it's, I believe the now infamous angle where we would see Stone Cold Steve Austin really turn the heat up on his old pal, Brian Pillman, and quote unquote, break his ankle. One of the more memorable angles from 1996, of course, on the other channel, you guys are just tearing it up with Nitro and, well, they're playing catch up ball on that channel, but that was a great piece of business. And I don't think you ever saw that, right?
I've never seen it. And my question is, since it's Superstars, that was their syndicated show.
That's right. Their weekend show.
So they were doing major angles on their syndicated show back then.
They were.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think at that point, I mean, even though he had won King of the Ring, I don't think they had any idea what Austin was going to go on to become.
Right.
And they knew that Pillman's ankle was not healing well, and they needed some sort of way to explain him to be off TV and on crutches again and blah, blah, blah. So that's how they did it. And then of course it eventually led to the gun angle, which I think you and I have talked about before.
Right.
But that's sort of how it all got set in motion. And we're going to be watching that next week here on the program. If you got questions about Stone Cold or Brian Pillman or Tony Schiavone and his butthole, cause we're going to have his butthole live in studio next week.
Comes with me everywhere.
Well, we've got a special microphone. It cost a little extra, but you know, I've been saving and we're ready to do it now. So Tony's Butthole will be here live on the program next week. So set your calendars, same bat time, same bat channel. But right now, Tony, it looks like it's about that time.
Yes, and coming towards me with a needle is Dave Silva. And he tells me he has something in here for me. No, Dave, don't inject it. No. It's pretty damn good. At least I can see it. We're desperately out of time. See you next week on What Happened When. We come to you each and every Wednesdays on Westwood One. But Mondays, we come to you ad-free and exclusively on
Patreon. Patreon.